This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
If you grew up in Australia in the 80s, you'll probably be familiar with the work of children's author and illustrator Graeme Bass. Millions of Australians have been exposed to his work sometime in the last 25 years, whether as a child, a parent, a grandparent or a teacher. Back in 1986, he released the alphabet book Animalia, which went on to sell more than 3 million copies around the world. And then the book The 11th Hour captivated primary school kids with a mystery that could only be solved by finding the hidden clues on every page. Remember that one? Well, his latest book is called The Legend of the Golden Snail, and it is absolutely beautiful. Graeme Bass, welcome to the program this morning.
Thank you very much. Good to talk with you.
Let's go back to the beginning. How did you make this happen, becoming a best-selling author illustrator? It seems like such a dream job.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? You know what? When my oldest son was really little, he was overheard in the school ground describing what his dad does. You know, kids were all talking about it, and one kid was saying, "My dad's an astronaut or something, or a train driver." Probably wasn't that, but that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And James was heard to, apparently he got a wistful look in his eye, and he said, "Ah, oh, my dad stays home and colours in." That was my job spec. I mean, how on earth, you know, do you finish up doing that in life? It's fractionally more complicated than that, but
of course, that's
the gist of it. And I tell you, I always wanted to be an artist. That's how. And nobody ever said I couldn't, so I went on believing that I could, and it happened.
But you also must have had a writing gene in there too, because you apparently wrote your first book at age 10. So tell us about that.
Oh yeah, well no, it was very much picture driven, as my work generally speaking always has been.
Okay.
That was as I recall, a field guide to monsters of the world.
I really think that could be a hit. You should do something with that.
Well, it's a funny thing. I always tell kids, if I'm talking to them, look, you know, keep your ideas and put them in a box somewhere or in a book, because that idea, it was essentially, you know, monsters that you find all over the, you know, the place under the couch, you know, in the garbage, whatever.
Yeah, I think that could work for fairies as well.
well, you know, exactly right. Right, yeah, fantasy is always there. But the thing is that 20 years later, I did publish a book called The Discovery of Dragons, and essentially it's the same idea. The monsters turned into dragons, and sure, it was a little more sophisticated. The original was, of course, on lined paper with coloured pencils, and now I'd graduated to watercolours and airbrush and stuff. But essentially, yeah, it was something that I brought with me from childhood, and eventually it became a book.
Mm. Now, I realise too that Animalia wasn't actually your first book, but it was kind of the start of your real success. So when you released Animalia, did you have any sense that it would become a classic and do so well?
Who in their right minds would think that the world needed another English language alphabet book? All things. No, look, I just couldn't imagine what would have happened. Initially, it was in Australia. It just sort of went pretty crazy here. And then I managed to get myself to New York, where the book was going to be published a year later, and just fluked a spot on a couple of, you know, pretty important kind of, you know, chat shows, Good Morning America amongst them.
Mm.
And the book went crazy then, just sort of took off, and it just sort of started, turned a hobby into a career, basically.
I think the thing that probably stands out about your artwork is the level of detail and all the hidden items. And I was wondering, how long does it take you to create a picture book like Animalia or The 11th Hour?
Well, every book is generally a couple of years. You know, that's when I put it on the front burner and really say, okay, that's what I'm doing for the next, you know, 2 years of my life. But they always, almost always start much earlier than that.
So how much time goes into a painting? Say, in your new book, The Legend of the Golden Snail, there's a beautiful double spread of Wilbur sailing off into the blue ocean and the sky. How long would it take to create that picture?
Well, interesting you should pick that one, because actually that's one of the more open ones, and by definition, with less detail, they're quicker to do. And I could do a picture like that probably in a matter of a week or so. But interestingly, too, it's one of my favourite pictures, that one. The ones which are more sort of broad and to do with the infinite horizons and, you know, infinite possibilities, I suppose they feel, are the ones which now I'm gravitating towards. I guess I've done a lot of detail over the years, and the old eyes are going, and I'm getting RSI in my wrist and stuff, and yeah, which is pathetic, isn't it? What kind of excuse is that?
I loved that picture, though.
Enjoying these broader sort of open pictures. I mean, there's plenty of detail there in some of the pictures when you get, you know, down and dirty into the adventure. The detail is there. And I've also done the thing which I tend to love doing it in my books, which is hide stuff.
Mm.
And in this instance, there's a little symbol, a little snail and crossbones symbol, which has got to be found on every page.
Well, for those who haven't seen the new book, it's called The Legend of the Golden Snail, and in it, Wilbur sails to the ends of the earth to reclaim an enchanted golden snail. So where did the idea for this book come from, Graeme?
It started way, way back. The initial inspiration, that is, to do a seafaring adventure, because my family came out from England when I was a kid, when I was 8 years old, and we came by sea, which is what everyone did in those days. And it was a really, you know, impressionable, you know, stage for me in my life, and I just loved this experience of being out there on the open ocean. When I was a teenager, we did it again, went back to England by ship and then came back here again. Obviously, couldn't make our minds up, but it was really influential part of my life, and I loved it to death. So I think the fact that I've now done a book about a seafaring adventure almost definitely comes from that beginning. However, there was something else that happened. About 5 years ago, I was traveling with my family in Europe, and we stayed in a hotel where there was this light fitting sticking out of the wall. The brass bit was spiral-shaped like a snail motif, and the shade was curved like a sail. And so I said to the kids, hey, this is, you know, typical dad's joke. Look, kids, look, there's a snailing ship. They just rolled their eyes and went back to whatever they were doing. They treat me with such disrespect. It's fantastic. But I drew a little picture of this.
That's because you just colour in all day, Graeme.
Yeah, I know. I haven't got a proper job. Dad, get a proper job. What's wrong with you? But anyway, I drew a picture of this little snail with sails, and that was my snailing ship. And so the two things, that really imagery from childhood and this new little kind of character that I've developed, became this book, The Legend of the Golden Snail.
I was interested to hear you use the word adventure, because I think one of the qualities that makes a great children's book is a spirit of adventure, and it's certainly very present in The Legend of the Golden Snail.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it starts with a map, as all good adventure stories should, showing, you know, Wilbur's journeying from you know, the butterfly isle to the Crab Island and on to the ends of the earth. I loved that sort of thing when I was a kid, and I've got no reason to suppose that kids today feel any different.
It's also, though, one of the things I noticed in the book, I don't know whether this was deliberate or not, but Wilbur actually extends grace wherever he goes. You know, he waters the blossoming butterflies, he frees a monstrous sea creature, he rescues the lanternfish, and finally, you know, in the finale of the book, he releases the enslaved golden snail, and in the process, he, you know, he grows up a bit. Was that something you thought about, or was it just the way the book wrote itself?
Oh, no, that's very much the essence of the story. It's always struck me that there's two broad ways of getting ahead in life, or achieving your dreams, or reaching a certain level of aspiration. One is to metaphorically clamber over the bodies of your vanquished opponents, and the other way is to have friends and colleagues who lift you up to the same level. And that's Wilbur's journey. He thinks that he has to be a dastardly grand enchanter in order to achieve his dreams, because that's what the legend says. The grand enchanter had captured the mythical golden snail and bent it to his will, roamed the oceans for 100 years, and then eventually banished it to the ends of the earth under a spell where it awaits a new master. This is classic, you know, kind of stuff. So he goes off thinking, well, okay, that's what I have to do in life to succeed, to realize my dreams. And learns that, in fact, the other way is better. If you help people, they will help you in return. And in the end, when he does confront the snail, where he recites the magic verse and it rears up out of the sand, he realizes, yeah, this thing is a slave. Will he continue to bend it to his will, or will he release it? Mm. So that's his moment of truth, where his real reward flows.
Yeah, it's a beautiful and touching ending to the book. I really enjoyed it. Now, I have to ask you as well, you're married to an artist, so are your children showing signs of
just a bit.
Giftedness in artistic world?
Either. Well, yeah, Robin, actually, we met through music, which is even worse, isn't it? I was in a rock band back in the 80s. I was the drummer in a rock band, and I know all the drummer jokes, so you don't have to start. But I really fancied the lead singer. I thought she was terrific. We've now been married for something like 30 years. Robin's training, though, is in fine art. She's a painter and a sculptor. The kids are tending to go into things like filmmaking. One of them's that way. One's fashion design. And the youngest one is dead set in a musical career.
Ah, so they're finding their own way of doing it, which is great.
Oh, yeah, they're not going into book illustration, or I can assure you that. Once enough.
Well, and also, just before I let you go, I know that another thing that you're doing at the moment is embracing new technology in your work. So perhaps you could tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun. I've always been a real fan of actually new technology, but it's just I learned the old way, you know, colouring in. And I'm having a lot of fun now. I've reapplied Animalia to the digital world with an iPad and iPhone app. It was fantastic revisiting the artwork and finding new ways of showing that. And also in The Golden Snail, there's this new technology which is really just breaking now called augmented reality. And if you complete the challenge of The Golden Snail and find all these hidden symbols and go to the website, you can hold the book up to the camera on your laptop, and suddenly the golden snail appears as if it's floating in air.
I've seen this on YouTube, and it is remarkable.
Crazy. Oh, fabulous new technology! And if you tilt the book, you know, to one side, the snail will turn into the wind and begin to sail in that direction. Then you tilt it back, and it goes back and forth. I don't frankly quite know how they do it, but
no,
have a crack at it, and there it is. So that's an extra little kind of thing we added on to the end of the adventure.
All right, well, thank you so much for telling us all about I guess your career and your life's work and your new book. It's been really nice to talk to you this morning.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
That's Graham Bass, the children's author and illustrator, and his new book is called The Legend of the Golden Snail.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.